I, Cam Hayward, talking as the elder statesman and spiritual leader of the Steelers on their mindset going into their first practice, which is ongoing, saying we're not trying to be paper champs because he sees it on social media. He talked to us about it last week. Cam is very aware of narratives and what's out there, and he knows that right now the Steelers are being celebrated for winning the offseason. They are hanging some form of offseason champion banner symbolically for all the moves they made, all the shakeups they made. And it's worked for certain teams. I mean, the Bucs did a massive facelift in 1 year when they brought Brady in and all the guys who wanted to ring chase with Brady, and it worked. You also have the flip side of that, which people that want to criticize the Steelers have brought up a lot, Mulsey, and that is the 2011 Eagles, the dream team. Vince Young dubbed them. In 2010, they won the NFC East with Michael Vick. They lost to Aaron Rodgers' Packers in the playoffs at home. Then they made all kinds of huge, big-name moves the following offseason. Mm-hmm. And they were one of the teams that were picked to win the Super Bowl, and they were a self-proclaimed dream team. They either went 8-8 or 7-9 here.
It was just the definition of like a mediocre letdown type of season.
With a great coach in Andy Reid.
And then didn't they have like Dream Team 2.0 with Chip Kelly once he got there?
And that didn't go well either.
No, it did not.
Stats from that team better than their record. 8th in points, 10th in points against. So top 10 in both, and they went 8-8.
That's hard to do.
Couldn't find a way to pull out the close ones, I guess.
Who was their best player on that team by AV on Facebook?
Namdi Asomugha?
Not Facebook, on Football Reference. Jason Babin.
He was not a bad player.
No,
rusher.
No, he was not. He was a good player.
Shady McCoy was also doing his thing for them back then.
All-decade team Shady McCoy.
Yeah.
I do hate like winning the off. I know winning the offseason has actually become a way to win the actual season a little bit more, as I think good teams make more moves in the NFL, but I'm still reserving any kind of real excitement about the way they've gone about this offseason, because so much of it just seems like I described it as you put a car in neutral, you hit the gas pedal pretty hard, it makes an interesting sound,
but doesn't go anywhere. I think that's potentially true of the offense. I think the offensive moves are more sizzle than steak. I think on defense, which football is very unique in that it's really two teams within one team, offense and defense. I think on Hayward's side of the ball, what he knows, like, they're on paper, they are the best defense in the AFC. I think the only defense better than them in football on paper is Philly. I don't see it. Go team by team. There's not a team in the AFC for me that if you go up and down their defensive starters and roster, you say, yep, that team has 11 better players than the Steelers.
I'm trying to think, like, most teams you like cite a big time edge rusher like Max Crosby or Myles Garrett, or you'd cite for Baltimore, they have Kyle Hamilton. I think they do have what you would at least consider in Watt, Hayward. Does any other team have two guys who are likely to be first team all pros or are going to contend for first team all pro status on that side of the ball?
Well, Roquan Smith and Hamilton in Baltimore.
Smith. Yeah.
And Matabike is a good player too.
Van Noy's
coming off a huge year, but there's question about whether or not he can do it in back to back.
People
seasons.
Would have normally told you until they were beset by a million injuries, the Chargers always had a good looking defense on paper, and it never seems to materialize.
They got James
that way.
And Mack.
Derwin, yeah.
Well, they had the number one defense in the NFL by stats last year. And it's not like they played poorly in a playoff game. It's just that their quarterback threw more interceptions in one game than he did all season, which is still
Has a good defense, but it doesn't have a lot of household names. The Broncos have a very good defense.
I think that
they have a very good defensive roster.
They've got the reigning defensive player of the year.
And I think Vance Joseph knows what the hell he's doing on that side of the ball.
I mean, a lot of this comes back to Tomlin too. How does he push buttons? I mean, there's already go over some of the things that are happening in practice right now.
How about where Jalen Ramsey lined up? Start
That's
with
right.
that.
Jalen Ramsey was at safety.
According to Cabali, deep safety. Playing free.
Playing Minka Fitzpatrick's role. Alex Kozora.
Did they put him on another practice field to simulate how far off the line he would be?
Alex Kozora, who we know from the Repo Man, says, and I like Alex, but
his, I like Alex a lot.
But the company he works for hates me for some weird reason. Jalen Ramsey played slot and nickel first rep, then played safety in team's first base defense package. And worked with the safeties when the how about this, Alan Saunders? When they split up into groups, corners go one way, safeties go another for individual work, Ramsey went with the safeties.
I don't know, man. Unless you're going to deploy him in a wildly different manner than you deployed Minka last year, I feel like it's a recipe for disaster for two reasons. One, you wouldn't be letting him have a chance at still shutting down the other team's best receiver, which I'd still consider more valuable than pretty much any safety type of role.
Mm-hmm.
And two, if he doesn't play like this very active, let him freelance, let him be like an instinctive playmaker, he's going to get pissed off. We've already heard what he said publicly about how he feels about what he's still capable of. You're going to get that would shape up on paper to be a Tomlin. It looks good when you first hear the announcement that they've made the trade, and then the player realizes the grass isn't always greener.
Dom, I know that you're busy tweeting your friend or texting your friends in the producer text chat that you guys have. So I don't know if you're hearing me talk right now or if you're consumed by that.
How do you know about that group chat?
Because Callis texted me and said, that's why you weren't ready when we needed the sounder in the Bucko Minute segment. He outed you.
At least I don't fall asleep during my producing shifts, but go ahead.
Jeez. Callis got bludgeoned, like I said earlier today, by the boss for doing YouTube chat while he was still producing an active segment.
Yeah, good point. So
tit for tat right
there. I guess he doesn't really have the moral high ground here.
No, he does not.
Dom, give me Joey Porter Jr. on Tomlin's coverage plan. Sometimes the young guys will give more tea than the veterans who are more savvy, even though obviously Joey's very well spoken and his dad played in the NFL.
Yeah, Joey knows the score on this kind
so
of stuff.
So give me Porter on Tomlin's coverage plan here.
Yeah, I agree with him. You know, we had to talk about it the other day, and I agree with all the points he made up. We got elite corners on our team now, and I'm just happy about it.
So the plan is, to restate it from Tomlin, that those three will always be on the field. And that means when a team only has two wide receivers out there, that Slay and Porter Jr. will be the corners, and Ramsey will go to safety.
That just only makes sense if you're going to use Ramsey like a hyper, like the queen on the chessboard. You're not going to just station him back there and say, don't let anything go over your head. You're going to move him around. You're going to essentially let him play in a quasi sense the way they used to let Troy play. Like, not on the extreme where LeBeau just said, kind of do what you want. Make sure you're right. But that type of player.
I mean, it's just a snapshot of things, but obviously they're putting some of their intentions out there and plans with this first practice. If you're paying Jalen Ramsey all that money to just be a facsimile of what Minka Fitzpatrick was last year,
I'm
opposed to it, exactly.
Why'd you make the trade to get Jonnu Smith out here?
Give me what Cam Hayward said about Jalen Ramsey next year, Dom, whenever you have that fired off and I'll stop talking.
You know, I know everybody likes to talk about how he can guard any position, but having a corner like that loves to tackle and is physical, that's very impressive to me. To have a stout run defense, it's not just one person, it's not just your front seven. It takes 11 guys buying in, play in and play out, and Jalen really adds to that equation.
See, that's another reason what he said there at the start of that clip, Pony.
Yep.
Why I'm confused as to why, at least in this very first practice, they aren't just sticking him at one of the outside corner spots and letting him prove that for some reason he would need to be moved. Tomlin loves corners who are willing to stick their noses in there and be physical. That was like one of the problems Porter had early in his career where his dad had to take him. You know, we always heard these stories. His dad took him aside and was like, you gotta buckle the chin strap here. Ramsey loves to lower the boom on people.
So it sounds like the first team play, Metcalf, Austin, and Roman Wilson were out there at wide receiver per Faribault. And it sounds like Wilson and Metcalf were on the outside and Austin was on the inside, which means for that rep, Ramsey was on Austin. And I don't know which outside corner was on Metcalf, but
you'd think,
I mean,
Porter Jr. wouldn't.
Okay,
you?
But again, just in those situations, you know, I would want, like, if you're...
I'd want Ramsey on Metcalf.
I'd want Ramsey on Metcalf, yes.
Man, the trade looks just, yeah, just the trade looks ridiculous. I know we're evaluating this on day one, but still, I mean, they're going to tip some of their hand. They're going to show you some of the things they want to do. The more he plays at free safety, and if it's not in a dynamic way, the more it's just a head scratcher.
Jack Hillgrove, who you hear on the station, and also did a great Breaking Bread video, which is up on our YouTube page with his grandfather, in which he asked him, "Hey, Pap, if you could stay on a desert island with one of your former broadcast partners, who would you pick?" I haven't seen it yet, but I have some thoughts.
So do I.
I don't think he's picking Bostic.
No, I don't.
I don't think Bostic brings much to the table in that situation other than a penchant for like filling up the air with all of his takes.
He'd be analyzing the signals they were sending to ships far away to try to get help.
Hillgrove tweets that on the third team rep, the third 11-on-11 rep, T.J. Watt went from the left edge to the middle and dropped back into coverage and made a, quote, tackle because they're not in pads on Roman Wilson.
I see. Now, that is more.
I like that.
That's more what I want to see. Do stuff differently. This all comes back to Mike because I do think Mike has had. I feel like people have told us this. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but when he used to come on our show, Arthur Motes, I always felt like he used to say one of like the way Mike liked to coach defense was he had his scheme and it wasn't like he's just rudimentary. He had what he thought they should do.
Yep.
But then his whole goal was, I'm going to teach you this scheme. We're pretty much going to play this way all the time. I think you guys playing faster and being good is going to surmount any kind of tactical advantage they might have.
Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's.
Yeah, but Jimmy's and Joe's who are geared to do one thing out there. And if you do it well enough, it doesn't matter if they try to counter move you.
By the way, on the trade, I don't see anything about where Jonnu Smith was. Maybe I missed that so far and somebody has that and can pass it along.
By the way, the YouTube comments are kind of all over the place on this. Wouldn't Slay be the guy because of his age you'd move to safety? He's a good tackler. He's a physical guy. He's got good instincts. If you were going to do this with one of these two who aren't Porter, wouldn't his age and Ramsey's performance last year as a corner means Slay would be the better candidate to do this with? If you're going to use, like, if there's only two wide receivers and so you don't have somebody covering the slot, whatever. Like, I would think that you'd want Darius Slay back there.
I think they've sold Ramsey on the idea that he's, like, the next Charles Woodson. I think that's what they're going for here.
And that means he's not going to be playing off screen.
They're trying to recreate the 2010 Packers. They've got Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback, and they've got Charles Woodson and Jalen Ramsey. Tomlin is trying to create the team 15 years later that beat him in the Super Bowl, is what it sounds like.
Corners are more valuable than safeties, but I could stomach this just as long as in week one we see Ramsey like all over the field and Ramsey not just hanging back. What percentage of defensive snaps do you feel like last year you didn't really see Minka at all because of where they
positioned
him?
Tons. He wasn't even on the, when the play started on TV, you couldn't even see him. He was so far off the line.
But I mean, like, there would be a lot of, my point is, you never saw him to start the play, it seemed like.
Yep.
There were times where the play happened and he was never in frame because of what he was asked to do.
Joe Shad, who covers the Dolphins in Miami, tweeted out a few minutes ago that Minka has not yet spoken with local reporters since the team brought him back. So I don't know the inner workings of how the Dolphins roll out players, but is it possible he might think, if I talk right now, I'm going to say some things that either make this team that I just got traded to look bad or my old employer look bad, or maybe even both?
Yes. I mean, just yes, all of the above.
I mean, you really don't put out the signal that you're stoked to be somewhere new if you're like 3 days into practice, because they're a day ahead of the Steelers. This is, I think, their second day of practice.
Yeah, Steelers are one of the last two teams to report.
Yep.
Them and the Falcons, I want to say, maybe. I think I might have got that one right.
Man, Miami seems like a mess right now. Anyways, coming up next, I have my top 10 Steelers under the biggest microscope in Latrobe.
So you're doing like your own little mini power ranking. Love these where you make the list and I
because
can react
at 3:30 we have official PM team power rankings where you and Donnie are ranking the top five wrestlers of all time with Hulk Hogan passing away.
And you have already laid down the gauntlet that if I omit Hulk Hogan from this list,
then it's just going to be in poor taste because he passed away today. Do you agree with that, Dom? You can't leave Hogan off the list today.
It would be in bad taste, yes.
Hypothetically, if I did one of those bits where I had five, but I had to get one or two more in, I had an honorable mention. He has to be in the top five.
I think an honorable mention is an even bigger slap in the face.
You're saying, like, I didn't even really want to put him on this at all, but I'm putting him in the honorable mention category?
Yep.
Okay. So you'd almost, as a team in the college football polls, you wouldn't even want to be in also receiving votes. You'd just say, put me in the top 25 or don't even vote for me.
Depends. Depends what program I am. I think it's a slap in the face for Ohio State, but if you're like Syracuse, you're thrilled with receiving votes. Or even Pitt at this point. Sorry. All right. Steelers continue to practice at St. Vincent College. Donnie Football will have his training camp extravaganza show tonight, 6 to 10:35, live at Dino's in Latrobe. Donnie's going to join us in 15 minutes for PM Team Power Rankings. Hulk Hogan died today. Top five pro wrestlers of all time, ranked by Donnie and Malzie. I ranked the 10 Steelers who are under the biggest microscope at Steelers training camp. Number 10, Juan Thornhill.
Oh, man.
Runs a big mouth, talks a big game. We'll see if he can back it up.
I think he's seen as so mediocre.
Yep.
Even the way Omar Khan talked about him. Like, yeah, we have Juan Thornhill. That doesn't mean we're not looking. I actually think that he's not under much of a microscope because the expectations are so low, even if he runs his mouth a lot.
That's why I have him 10 and not higher on the list. Number 9, here's a surprising name, Rock Taylor. He is an undrafted free agent, but he's a wide receiver, and I believe he got more money in rookie free agent cash than any Steeler in the history of the organization. I know salaries go up, but still, is there potential for a Jaylen Warren situation with Rock Taylor? I think so.
Does anybody remember the name of the other running back that they loved from Oklahoma State that they had in here with Jaylen Warren? Or the Duke running back, excuse me. I got him crossed up there.
The Duke running back.
Yeah. Can you remember?
Do you have it?
No. Wasn't it like Maceo or something?
He did have a weird name.
But that guy, never heard from
Rock
him again.
Taylor, 9. Not going to get a lot of opportunities. Make the most of them and then climb a depth chart that's pretty thin. Number 8, Corey Trice. Corey Trice under the microscope. They brought in corners. He made that interception in Denver in week 2. And then Mike Tomlin idiotically gave him the assignment of Jamar Chase late in the season. That didn't go well. They like his measurables.
They literally like his height and weight and wingspan.
Can he put it together? Big camp for him. Number 7.
What is, briefly here, I have time to like quickly offer a rejoinder, right?
Sure.
Is there perfect world one in where Corey Trice just comes on big time? It's he and Porter plays really well and has a huge bounce back. And those are your two outside corners. Slay plays the slot and Ramsey is just your defensive weapon.
I don't think that could happen in camp. I think somebody would have to get hurt in the season.
Sure.
Trice would have to go in, play well, and Tomlin would feel like he has to keep him in the lineup.
Okay.
7, Beanie Bishop. Guy picked off Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago.
Forgotten. Was no, the, last year.
Yeah, last year. Was the star of camp last year where he was a starter at the nickel corner as an undrafted guy. Now he's fighting for a roster spot.
And they seemed like they couldn't wait to try to find replacements for
him.
The thing
he's the most famous for right now going into the season is what he did to the Pitt logo when he was taking pictures with the Steelers before the start of minicamp, in which Doug Whaley said he should have been cut for that. I know. Number 6, Cole Holcomb. What can Cole Holcomb still do? There's probably a scenario out there in which Holcomb looks good enough where he would be the starter next to Queen and Peyton Wilson would still be the situational guy. They paid him to be a starter. Is that still in there somewhere? They kept him around. They didn't cut him. So he's 6 for me. Number 5, biggest microscopes.
I'll say one thing about Holcomb.
Yep.
I've seen a ton of great to see him back out there moving around, etc. I don't think anybody that's saying this is trying to speak in code, but for whatever reason, when I hear people talk about the player like that, my brain goes to very low expectations. Like when you're just happy to see a guy moving around and doing football stuff, It's hard for me to have huge expectations.
Steelers under the biggest microscope in training camp. Number 5 for me, DeMarvin Leal. This is nut cutting time for DeMarvin Leal. He's got to take a massive dump or get off the pot. There's no in between.
Lining up at OLB now.
Yep. This is it, man. And you're playing outside linebacker, edge rusher. You're probably 5th on the depth chart.
Show me something.
Behind Jack, Tom Sawyer, Herbig, and obviously the two starters who are studs. So he's 5. Now or never for a former third-round pick. Number four, I went Will Howard. He plays quarterback, so there's always a microscope.
Apparently, he's the darling of day one right now. I don't know if you've heard that from any of your moles. I've heard he's throwing a bunch of short passes, but everyone is just ooing and eyeing.
And
they are he is being gassed up more than any sixth-round pick
that
ever.
That was my take. He's the most hyped sixth-round pick in Steelers history.
But I feel like you have contributed to
that.
And
I will freely admit that. Number four, Will Howard. Number three, Connor Hayward. You want to talk about forgotten guys? What the heck's going to happen with him? Could end up on the practice squad after spending the first 2 years on the Steelers roster.
Killebrew is their formal special teams ace. Do teams usually, in your opinion, carry two special teams ace type guys who are just basically there to do that?
I guess you had Larry Izzo in New England, and I guess...
Wasn't Benny Cunningham a guy for am I thinking
I guess
that right?
Slater and Izzo never crossed over in New England. You're right. They only had one.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, you have Miles Killebrew here already. You're not going to allocate a second spot just for a guy to be great on special teams.
I feel
teams.
Like he's getting squeezed out, so you better have a big camp.
Even if he feels like a guy that even if he has a big camp, is there a spot? I'm not so sure.
Number two, Steelers under the biggest microscope in Latrobe, Caleb Johnson. Caleb Johnson has a monster camp. We saw Le'Veon Bell have a monster camp and basically get the job.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think Mike Tomlin likes Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren does one thing Mike Tomlin can't stand, and that's put Piggy on the ground.
Yes,
so
he does.
If Caleb Johnson looks good...
And holds on to the damn ball.
I don't think Mike Tomlin will hesitate to flip it and have Johnson take over Najee's role and keep Jaylen Warren where he is.
I don't know if I flip-flopped on this. I still think in a perfect world, you have a guy who's a better lead back than Najee was, ultimately a more explosive player. And if you can bring Warren in for like 12, 13 touches a game... I think you still might get the best out of him.
And number one, the Steeler under the biggest microscope in Latrobe, Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson. It ended tragically last year with that injury.
I wouldn't call a
football tragedy. It was a football tragedy. And he was really never heard from again. That was it. It pretty much, for all intents and purposes, ended his 2024 season. We've heard that he's got the body of Adonis. We've heard that he's been chiseled out of granite or marble, and he looks like a different dude. So this is his chance to show it. He's going up against veteran corners that Tomlin loves. We know he loves Porter Jr. We know he loves Slay. We know he loves Ramsey. If he goes out there and beats those guys, that's just going to imbue Tomlin with confidence that, hey, I like what we've got. We're not going to go out there and bring in an Amari Cooper or a Gabe Davis or somebody like that.
I don't know if you were trying to name guys who are maybe not household names. It's just surprising you didn't find any space on there for Rodgers.
Because here's my thing with Rodgers and Broderick Jones. This is why I left both of those guys off. I don't think there's anything that can happen in camp that changes their status with the team.
All right.
Rodgers is the starting quarterback. Broderick Jones is the starting left tackle.
You don't have to explain it further because I grudgingly understand and accept the rubric and think it actually makes sense. I think that's fair by you.
Thank you. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. The official PM team power rankings are next. It's a sad day for wrestling fans because Hulk Hogan passed away. Did he crack Donnie Football, wrestling aficionado, a man who paid thousands of dollars to go to WrestleMania 2 years ago? Did he crack Donnie's list? Did he crack Mulsey's list, who's been known to sit in bed, and instead of hanky-panky time, he goes back and watches King of the Rings from 1994?
No, I think the only King of the Ring I would watch is the Austin King of the Ring.
Which year is that?
96.
Okay, 96.
Snake promo.
It's got my ears screwed up, but the point stands.
Get a bottle of that Thunderbird and dig back some of that courage you had in your prime.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sad news in the world of sports entertainment. Hulk Hogan, a mythical figure, passed away today. Really eerie, these things seem to happen in threes with celebrities. First, he had the guy from The Cosby Show. Then he had Ozzy Osbourne. And now we get the sad news that Hulk Hogan died.
Well, you could have it in fours, or it means it just kicked off a new one. Chuck Mangione died. the guy from Feels So Good, jazz horn player. He had a couple monster hits on Yacht Rock.
No, I don't know him, but yeah.
Chalutes, you should. He's from upstate New York. He's from Rochester.
Oh. Well, anyways.
The Hulkster, man.
We're ranking the top five wrestlers of all time. And when I say we, I'm talking about Malzy, who's sitting across from me, and Donnie Football, who has an amazing assignment tonight. He's back to his old stomping grounds, Dino's, for Steelers camp coverage tonight at 6 to 10:35. He's got all kinds of treats planned for that. I'm sure there will be remembrance of the great Hulk Hogan. When Donnie was on vacation in Tampa a couple of years ago, he dragged his fiance Sarah and I believe members of her extended family to Hulk Hogan's bar and restaurant there.
Correct.
We also have this that's been making the waves on social media today. A promotional poster previewing a Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair match in Pittsburgh at the Civic Arena, November 1st, 1991. Hogan versus Flair was the main event. On the undercard, you had the Natural Disasters versus the Legion of Doom, the Big Boss Man versus IRS.
Mike Rotunda at IRS, he was a Syracuse guy, was he not?
He was a wrestler there. The British Bulldog versus the Mountie.
Mountie with that stupid-ass cattle prod.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart versus the Bully.
Boy, the Bully tells you they weren't really trying hard for a gimmick there.
The Big Dragon versus Skinner.
Skinner, another guy in that 92 Rumble where you can name every entrant. When Gorilla Monsoon tries to go, and who will this be? Skinner! You're not taking that seriously.
And the Matador, Tito Santana versus Hercules.
I want to see Big Boss Man IRS on that undercard more than anything else.
The best seats for that event went for $13, and you could go to your local
Kaufman's
National Record Marts and
Far more. Pony, none of these stores mean anything to you.
Or you could just NRM show up to Civic Arena Gate 1 to also get tickets.
You could also watch WWF Superstars of Wrestling Saturdays at 1 on WPXI-TV.
Do you think we have people listening who were there in 1991 for that?
Yes, 100% we do. There are people in your mentions who said, I was there. Hogan won by disqualification, I believe. Mm.
Donnie, does that line up with you that Hogan would beat Flair on some technicality like a disqualification?
Yeah, I mean, given the way both of those guys were, they were not prone to going down for the 1-2-3, brother. So I guess a DQ or some funky finish makes a lot of sense.
Plus, well, hold on, Donnie. Can you name one time and can you name the participants when the WWF title actually very famously changed hands at a house show?
Very famously? I mean, I know that Kevin Nash did it against Bob Backlund.
That's the one, brother.
You guys are just nerds for this.
He walked out into the ring. Backlund charged him. He got jackknife powerbombed and pinned in 8 seconds.
Although I did get a text from my pot-smoking mom at 2:13 today that just said, yo, Hulk Hogan died. One of your faves.
She says yo to you?
Yo, yeah, and like he's Jesse Pinkman.
Then I said, I know.
Bro, you won't believe this. Hulk Hogan dead.
I also threw in something about maybe Hulk Hogan that I don't want to share on the air, and she concurred. But anyways.
Yeah.
All right, top five pro wrestlers of all time. Donnie and Malzy will rank them because I have no earthly idea on how to do this.
Okay.
So, Malzy, you get to start with your number five.
Well, I'm going to cheat and do two honorable mentions just very briefly. One is Kurt Angle, who I think burned incredibly bright and was unbelievable on the mic and in the ring, but it was just too short of a time at the very top of the heap. The other, and this is going to tick people off locally, I know he sold out the Garden. I know it was, and it was a different era and not one I have any frame of reference. Bruno Sammartino's honorable mention.
Man, that is a disgraceful decision by you.
You're not involved in this. You already said you don't have any grounds to really participate, so
number
I don't want to hear
for
it.
You?
The Undertaker. The consummate company man for the WWF, always there, whether they gave him the stupid, like, satanic Ministry of Darkness thing. I don't think anybody has more majestic, ominous entrances. He reinvented himself a bunch. He has, for a guy who was getting up there in years, he would have shockingly good pay-per-view matches. He was willing to put a guy like Lesnar over to break the WrestleMania streak. He doesn't, for me, have the juice of the four guys I have ahead of him, but he can't not be on the list.
Donnie, number four.
Oh, okay. I forgot we were doing it this way. My number four is, well, it was actually The Undertaker, so I was going to go with my number five here.
Okay, who's number five for you?
Shawn Michaels is number five for me. He is Mr. WrestleMania. Not that he had the undefeated streak that Undertaker had at the event, but you could pretty much bet on any match that he had at WrestleMania was going to be a banger of a match, and it almost always was. One of the greatest in-ring performers of all time. The man took, what, a four-year gap of time off. He comes back, and it's like he never even missed a beat.
He had a second prime.
He immediately returns to being the best in-ring performer on the roster. And also, he was one of the integral parts of the Attitude Era beginning with invention of D-Generation X.
Yeah, you're right. And he also oversold for Hogan because Hogan refused to take the 1-2-3 and lay down for Michaels at WrestleMania.
SummerSlam.
He made Hogan look like a complete clown by overselling every move as if he was being hit by a literal giant. And I always appreciated that.
Number three for you, Mulsey. Top five wrestlers of all time with Hulk Hogan passing
away. Funny you should say that. Hulk Hogan. He put it on the map in the 80s. There's no doubt. He made it become a phenomenon. And I think you can never forget the people or leave them behind in this who put something on the map in the first place. But in this case, him planting the flag in the mainstream for pro wrestling was, I think, not as impressive. And certainly if you were going to look at like a balance sheet or how much of a money-making machine that this has become, not as impressive as what was to come. Hulk was the ultimate showman. I mean, if you want to go see him work a good match.
And a really good in-ring wrestler, I've heard.
If you want to go see him, I was just going to say that. If you want to go see him actually work a good match where he sells for his opponent and where he actually performs moves other than big boot, leg drop, and Hulk up, go watch him in Japan where he was doing all sorts of stuff because the Japanese crowds hated this stupid routine. His finisher over there was like a clothesline. But, man, very few, if any, ever could work a crowd like this guy, Donnie. And you and I roll our eyes at it because we know what a reputation he had behind the scenes. The fact that 10 years after he left the WWF, he comes back and the nostalgia act just plays to an insane degree does speak to how much he had the crowd in the palm of his hand.
Donnie, who do you have number two?
Ric Flair is number two for me. I think he is one of the great in-ring guys ever. And I think, for my money, I would probably say he's the best man on the mic in the history of pro wrestling. Now, he was out of WWF, WWE, at least back in the heyday of the 90s, or he wasn't there a whole lot, but he obviously had the big win in the Royal Rumble of 1992 where he won the title. But he did a lot of his work in the NWA, did a lot of his work in WCW, but Flair, his resume kind of speaks for itself. I mean, I think really any order that you put the top three for me in, you could jumble it up all you want. Flair, I'm going to put it number two.
Terrified of him as a kid, the white hair, the screaming promos.
I also just want to correct Donnie. NWA was a rap group. I think he was talking about the NWO.
No, NWA was a wrestling alliance, the
National Wrestling Alliance. Tony, get a clue.
Unbelievable.
There was also an NWA with Ice Cube.
There was an NWA wrestling before there was the NWA. Well. And you can't say the name of what NWA the group
stood for. So who stole what? The NWA?
NWA wrestling existed first.
You guys taught me something today. All right, number one, Malzi's top wrestler of all time.
Donnie, I'm going to say this and present it in a way that's going to make you know who it is before I actually say the name. The top wrestler of all time, there's only one man that it could be, and that man is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Wow.
You can talk about The Rock's cachet in mainstream crossovers, the fact that The Rock is probably going to be a credible presidential candidate in the next 8 to 12 years and all
what?
That stuff. He wants to run, and he probably could. I mean, just...
Wow. Okay.
I think he probably could run for president, Pony. Did anyone say when Trump was running the apprentice that guy could be president someday? Probably not.
People are saying that about Stephen A. Smith.
I feel like we have flung the doors wide open on the group of people eligible for this. Anyway, you can talk about crossover appeal. You can talk about mainstream appeal. They still, Donnie, you probably have a better handle on this. The WWE still rakes in a boatload of money, and so does Austin, just selling Austin t-shirts. His run was brief, and I dinged Angle for that. But for... 3.5 years, 4 years maybe, from basically 97 to like mid-2001, the guy was more over than anyone I've ever seen. They tried to turn him heel, and they couldn't just because people were going to cheer anything he did. For me, it's not really close either. If Hogan planted the flag for wrestling, Austin made it a phenomenon, the likes of which I truly don't think you're ever going to see
again. Donnie, who did you have won?
I had Austin as well because, I mean, what you could say about it, Chris, is that he was the hottest wrestler at the time that wrestling was probably at its hottest.
You're right. When Raw was pulling like an 8 rating on cable.
I don't know what that means.
Raw, like, okay.
It was outrating Monday Night Football.
Yes. Raw was like,
wow.
Raw was a literal phenomenon, dude.
Who did you have 4 and 2, Malzi?
I had Rock 2. I had Ric Flair 4th.
Oh, wow.
I had Ric Flair behind Hogan just because WWF became bigger than WCW. And even though I think Flair is the way better performer, I feel like Hogan has to get a little bump.
No love for the Macho Man on your list, Mulsey.
My other guys on there were Andre, Shawn Michaels, Sting, Triple H, Savage for sure. But, I mean, these guys are kind of larger than life, I think.
Donnie, who did we leave off that was on your list? Anybody?
I think we got all of them. Michaels, Undertaker, Hogan.
You could probably say Cena for the modern era, Don, but like, it's just different, man.
Cena.
I mean, I even left Cena off, and I grew up with John Cena. I mean, you extend it to like a top 10, Cena's absolutely on it, and I put The Rock on there too. It's just so tough for me to take anybody out of that top 3. Like, I think Austin, Hogan, Flair, however you want to order the 1 through 3 there, that's fine by me because you can make an argument for any of them.
You'll hear more of Donnie tonight at 6. Down at Dino's, do they call it Bar and Grill like in the
Thin Lizzy song,
or is that?
They don't, but the boys will be back in town.
Okay.
What kind of wings are on the docket for you tonight? I know you're going to have some sweet and hot.
Yeah, I think they're sweet and hot are almost hard to beat.
There you have it. Get down there 6 to 10:35 for Donnie Football back in his element for training camp coverage.